Welcome everybody to episode 2 of Paranormal Saloon. I'm your host, Jay Hill. And tonight, actually I have a doubleheader. My friend Jen Rose will be in with us here in just a minute. And then I have Kenny Biddle, the skeptic himself. So yeah, this is going to be, it's going to be a good double feature. And I just want to let everybody know, thank you for all the support from last night's show with Sarah. I mean, that was a really good show, really fun. And yeah, it was a blast. And I hope to have her on in the future because she's just great, you know. So without further ado, let's get our next guest on. Jen Rose, who's a psychic medium. And basically, I'll just kind of let you hear, you know, her story. Hi, Jen.
Hey, Jay. Thanks for having me on. I get to warm up for Kenny Biddle. That's kind of awesome.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm glad that you reached out to me, and we've been trying to. With the Cemetery Files, we were going to have you on for last year, it was, but
yeah,
so much stuff going on. And, you know, now it's just been since we basically kind of canceled Cemetery Files because we just don't have time to do it. And with Kelly, you know, being a tax preparer, you know, now, mm-hmm. Yeah. So what have you been up to? Why don't you just kind of let everybody know who you are and, you know, what's been going on?
All right. Well, I am happy to do that. So yeah, I'm Jen Rose. As Jay so kindly said, I am a psychic medium. I am also an intuitive coach. So I work with coaching clients. And I am also a paranormal investigator. And last fall, I had the opportunity to leave my corporate America job as a trainer and start doing this full time to work with clients and to follow what I feel is my calling. And I haven't looked back and I haven't regretted it one bit.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. It is very cool. And it's given me time to really focus, get my name and face out there. Because, you know, sometimes working that 9-to-5 grind, you can be doing this for mm-hmm. years, but nobody knows who you are. So,
oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So I'm building on that. And I'm here to talk about anything that you want to talk about, Jay. Paranormal mediumship. Okay. We can get into all the weird and wild. I don't care.
So, yeah. So speaking of psychic mediums, and, you know, I've kind of got about an uphill battle with Kenny in the next couple hours.
Yeah, I'm going to.
So, but that's okay. You know, that's all right. Some of your experiences in the past, can you talk a little bit about, you know, why you kind of integrated your paranormal with your gifts?
It seemed to me really like a natural progression, because honestly, I had abilities from the time I was a child, mm-hmm. and I would see spirits, I would hear spirits, and it was weird. It was really weird and I didn't understand it. And some of them were really frightening. And, you know, as we get older, we get into adolescence, we start to kind of shut that stuff down. And about 10 years ago, I was going through some stuff and all of those abilities started to resurface out of the blue, and to the point where I was like, am I losing my mind? And that's how it started. I've had a healthy interest in the paranormal my whole life. It's always fascinated me. Even when I wasn't practicing anything, I just considered myself a regular person. I could still feel things in certain locations, sometimes pretty strongly, and sometimes it was really frightening. So when this stuff started to resurface, I decided that I needed to find out exactly what's going on with me, and how to deal with it. And it started from there. And then the paranormal, it just kind of dovetailed into that because I had such a fascination with it. And there are historical locations. I'm here in Northern Virginia. You can't throw a stone without hitting a battlefield, Civil War
battlefield.
So I would go to different locations, learn the history. I'm a big history buff, and I would always feel things at these locations. And as I started to work on my abilities, my mediumship, getting control of that, it made sense to me to use them in these locations to dig deeper and get the stories of these spirits. I mean, as you know, a lot of these places, they just want their stories told.
And that goes hand in hand, in my opinion, too. I mean, I've experienced that even before that my gifts were kind of that were flourishing, you know, and late in life. But I always knew in that sense, and I have always had experiences to the fact of that. So it was more or less just kind of just take and put that on the shelf and say, yeah, I'll get to that later, you know, or something. But, you know, so yeah, having like going into certain locations, even if you don't know that the history, or if you are just like, I think I said this yesterday, that if even if you go to a restaurant or something that's old and you know, there's, it's almost like history just kind of knocks on your door and says, you know, this is what was here and this is here. And, you know, I'm open all the time. You know what I mean? I don't close it down like that. I mean, the only thing that it works, the way it works for me is basically just, I don't close it down, but because life gets in the way, you know what I mean? And it's just like, okay, that kind of,
that's
the best way to describe it, you know what I mean? So but even then, even when I'm not in that mode and I'm just in reality and life mode, it can just pop out of nowhere, and I've had that happen quite a few times, you know. So I'm just kind of used to it, which is fine, you know. But going to different locations, especially if you know a little bit of history and it's supposedly haunted or whatnot, you know, you kind of are more open to that. You kind of want to know, you know, what the history is.
Yeah.
I don't like people telling me history. If I ever go on an investigation, I'd be like, you know, keep your mouth shut. Don't say anything, you know, because you and I both know that validation is key, especially for mediums. And, you know, because I don't want anybody to put anything, you know, like thoughts in my head or, you know, suggestions or whatever, you know, so I kind of keep that out of there. So I just, you know, play that I don't want to know card, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And can you talk a little bit about what was one of your memorable moments that had your gifts integrate with the paranormal?
So I think the first really memorable moment where they integrated really, really well and solidly, I had already started working with my mediumship and training. And I live near a location called Weems Botts. There's it's now a museum, but it's got a whole long history through the Civil War and before. It was reservation land. It's just a lot is happening there. And I actually didn't know the history at the time, but they were doing a Halloween investigation. And it was just, you know, they do these Halloween walks where they take you on the walk and they've got you know, the guide and stuff. And I took my adult son and a girlfriend of mine. And I mean, this was, I was so new to even studying this. I was just like beginning stuff. Mm-hmm. We started going through this walk and I was seeing things. I was feeling them. Mm-hmm. I was having spirits that are on that land communicating to me, talking to me. Now, unbeknownst to me, the guide who leads the tours is also the museum's on staff paranormal investigator.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And they don't really advertise that they have one or that he's the one leading the tours. But as we started talking and I started, he could hear what I was saying because I was telling like my son and my girlfriend, I'm like, okay, there's a shadow right over there, mm-hmm. you know, things like that. And so he kind of took me aside and he said, are you sensitive? And I said, well, yeah, you could call me that. I'm
multiple things.
And he had asked, he said, would you be willing to come back at some point privately and investigate with me? And I was like, okay, fine.
I love those invitations.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, that's great. And it was like, you know, it's like not even 30 minutes from my house. And I'm like, well, this is convenient.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's really how the blend kind of started between the two. And then learning really that mediums can be really helpful on investigations if they have no prior knowledge of that mm-hmm. history, but right. teams who bring them in, who do work with them, mm-hmm. you know, can get information that can later be verified or, hey, no, this is incorrect, mm-hmm. but it's a really helpful thing. And it's also helpful with locations that I have found have a lot of rumors to them mm-hmm. that are considered fact, but they're right. not really the fact.
Right. And that's there's a lot of that.
Yes.
So you kind of got to, so especially people with gifts, you really have to weed through a lot of that kind of that nonsense, you know?
Yeah.
It's almost like they want it to be true. So let's make it up, you know, let's spread a rumor. And then, and the sad thing is that most of the time, some of those rumors, you know, last for years and then until somebody comes along and say, yeah, I don't see that, you know, and then you're proved wrong and then you're wrong. And then they're like, okay. And then they, you know, oust you in that sense. So rumors are very dangerous in that sense. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So finding the correct history of certain locations.
Yes.
is key. Yeah. Yeah. It's you know what I mean? So yeah, I've ran into that before in a couple different places where I've heard one story here and then I've seen the other story here and it's like, yeah, they're close, but not quite.
Mm-hmm.
And then Absolutely. when they would do the research, when somebody else would do the research,
yeah,
then they'd be like, well, Jay's right, you know, that's, it's close, but it's not that close.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
exactly.
So yeah, I mean, you know, it's just, it's one of those things where you gotta, mediums have to tread lightly, especially when they do investigations like that. You know what I mean? I do remote investigations for the team that I'm a part of, is K2 Paranormal with Kelly. And mm-hmm. when they are, you know, at a location and they're, you know, most of the time, if they're, you know, they have a lot of sensitives and gifted people on the team anyway. So I kind of like help them when they need help. You know what I mean? Yeah. So I'm kind of behind the scenes, but I have, you know, helped other teams who needed a, you know, online remote viewer, mm-hmm. you know, because they were stuck or they had something and they couldn't figure it out, you know. So I have helped in that sense. And I love doing that. You know, I can do it at the, you know, comfort of my own home. I don't have to drive far away, you know. And that's, you know, I kind of advertise myself for that. I don't charge for that or whatever. It's just the fact that you know, I would rather be able to do that to help out a team and to, you know, kind of educate them on certain things. And so, yeah, I mean, it's and having, you know, people in the paranormal field, especially when you know researchers and you have friends who are history buffs, you know, it kind of goes back to the old adage of, you know, find like-minded people to surround yourself with. And that is key. You know?
Absolutely. It's really important. And I have the interesting thing is that, and I do a lot of remote views as well. Up until very recently, I was a member of the Warren Legacy Foundation for Paranormal Research. I do a lot of remote views for them. And I enjoy doing that too. But I really do like, if I can, to get to a location. There's just something that is almost, it gives me almost a clearer sense. I'll pick up the same things remotely, but then if I'm on a location, I can bring that into sharp focus.
Right.
So, yeah. Yeah. But a lot of times, one of the things that I ran into when I first started doing this and started doing the mediumship and looking at it and really kind of wanting to work with paranormal teams at that time, there were a lot of teams that didn't want to work with a medium.
They wanted the ones to be the ones to find the information, to find the information. They wanted that validation. You know what I mean? It's and it's not the fact that, you know, there are a lot of different mediums and a lot of different gifted people out there. And I always firmly believe this. I always have that there's no medium that is the same as another medium. We're all different. So we can bring similar things to the table, but they're unique. That's why it makes every human unique and individual. That's why we're individuals. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but there's mediums that I call them armchair mediums that think they're gifted and they're not, or they don't exercise proper etiquette in that sense. You know, if you're in it for just money, you're in the wrong business. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And if you want to help people, that's a different story.
Then you help people. You know, and we run into that, Jay. We run into that all over the place, unfortunately. I see a lot of nothing against TikTok, but TikTok mediums who do some readings and you get a following on TikTok, and then suddenly I'm a medium and you should hire me and I'm going to be teaching all these classes. And it's like,
right.
Okay. Right. so it's just.
And it's funny because mediums know mediums, you know, so it's kind of like, if you're not, we're going to call you out on that. You know what I mean? If it's something that is affecting me personally or one of my friends or something like that, or you're doing somebody a disservice.
You are.
Yeah. You know, I do believe that everybody has that ability to be gifted that way, but it's just whatever path that you're on, if mediumship or sensitivity or empathic or whatever is not part of your journey, then, you know, there's something else that your path has on it. You know what I mean? So I don't say that everybody can be, you know what I mean? But I mean, it's like we all have the ability to be. I'm not saying that all need to be.
Everyone has the ability to be. And actually, one of my mentors is Cindy Kaza. And and she has this great saying is that we all have the ability to learn how to play the piano, but not all of us have the ability to be concert pianists.
Right. And that's exactly, that's the best way to put it, you know? And so, I mean, you can, you know, there's people that can only do Twinkle Twinkle Little Star so much before people mm-hmm. like, hey, you can't play, you know?
Yeah.
And that goes back to the same thing with mediumship, you know? Mm-hmm. And now I'm not saying, you know, every medium and not every medium, but I mean, I'm sure that real mediums and real gifted people have stumbled and have been put on the blocks and ridiculed. And I've been there, done that, you know, been mm-hmm. laughed at, hysterically laughed at, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that is part of that. You know, I don't sit there and say, I'm going to be a millionaire. I'm going to make this money. You know, that wasn't my intention from ever getting into that. You know what I mean? I mean, but here's the thing, you know, in the past when I was starting out, at one point I was charging people to do readings, and then I kind of thought about it, I'm like, you know, I would get more satisfaction of just helping people mm-hmm. and not charging them, because I know that I, you know, I could make money to help me make a living, but it was a conscious decision to just not follow that path. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to be every other medium that was trying to either get a TV show or, you know, or practice or whatever. I mean, if that's your goal and that's what you're good at, then so be it. I'm not trying to crash anybody's parade or nothing like that, but as everybody's different, you know what I mean? So, and I'm not saying that my way of not charging or not doing that is better, because it's just for me, you know what I mean? It's my personal opinion. Everybody has a different, you know, view on mediumship, and that's fine, mm-hmm. you know? And so I don't try to condemn anybody for doing what they want to do, but if you're going to do something like that, it comes with a really good, great responsibility to make sure that you're not hurting the person more than you're helping.
Exactly. Them. Because, the first rule honestly should be do no harm, just like it is for medical professionals. It should be mm-hmm. that for mediums. And I don't knock anyone who has these abilities and they want to use it for free just to help people as they can. Mm-hmm. There are, right. I mean, I would never ever charge for paranormal services or checking things out like that.
No.
Absolutely not. I have seen mediums do that. But I would never do that. That's not what this is about. Working with clients is different for me, and teaching, mm-hmm. which is one of my passions, and it's what I did in my regular job as corporate trainer, mm-hmm. is really something that I'm very passionate about, but I'm also really big on the ethics of it, the ethics of mediumship, mm-hmm. but also the ethics of working with students, because mm-hmm. if you get someone who hasn't been trained properly, they can do a lot of harm. A mm-hmm. lot of harm.
Right. And a lot of people don't realize that. They think that they're doing it, oh, I'm doing this for a service. I'm doing this, you know, because I want to do, you know. You have to really, whatever your intention was or is, because a lot of people, a true medium, a medium that practices what they preach, basically, is if your intention, when you look at helping somebody, is what is my intent to do so? What do I have? What is to gain or lose from this?
Right.
You know what I mean? So you got to put yourself mm-hmm. in that position of thinking that way, of gaining or losing, you know? Are you going to feel bad because this person, you're going to tell them the truth, or, you know, whatever the reason is, but your intention has to be honest, true, and real. Because if that's not the reason that you're doing this, or that you're trying, you think you're helping somebody, you're really not.
You're not.
Because then that's when ego comes in, and that's when, you know, people think, oh, you know, I don't care, and I'm just trying to make money and this and that. It's like, well, you're in the wrong place.
Yeah. And I completely agree with that. It really does have mm-hmm. to, it has to do with your intention, and you have to do a lot of internal work to make that decision and to you understand why you are doing this? Are you just doing this because you want to be recognized? And I see that a lot.
That's a hard truth to come across. You know what I mean? It's like that old saying of, you know, the preacher is standing on the pulpit and he says, if I'm not saying anything that's not making you squirm in your seat, then I'm not doing my job.
Exactly. Exactly. So, and also you have to think about the consequences for yourself personally. If you are working one-on-one with clients, these can be clients who are coming with some pretty horrific circumstances.
Right.
And it does, it takes a toll. Are you able to deal with that? Are you able to deal with receiving this information and being able to convey it in a responsible way?
Right. Are you able to unpack what luggage they're bringing you?
Absolutely.
You know, and that is, and usually when, you know, I don't really do mediumship readings like I used to. I'm more focused on my shows and doing, you know, some remotes and stuff like that. I just didn't feel that my heart and my mind wasn't all, you know, there all the time in that sense. Wow. You know what I mean? So I kind of limit myself of, you know, what I can do and what I want to do and what I need to do and this and that. So it's kind of, you know, not to say that that won't change, but just right now, the certain path that I have is this is where it's at. I don't deny my gifts. I don't, you know, I just, you know, kind of put them on the back burner, you know, in certain things. And, you know, everybody does it, you know.
I know a lot of really talented mediums who don't work with clients at all. You know, it's something that they may do if they are part of a paranormal team. They may do it occasionally by word of mouth, but it's not a daily thing where they're working with clients. And that's perfectly fine. I mean, that's a valid path. Everybody has to decide what's right for them.
Right. Because the fact that also when life happens and the reality of things of life happen to you, that can take its toll on your spiritual walk and your gifts. And so it's kind of like, do I tend to this problem that I'm having or these issues that I'm having, you know, or do I just ignore that and then just go back to my gifts and then just do it because that makes me feel better? No, it's kind of like, you have to realize that old saying of, you know, what does it say? You have to take life on life's terms. Yes. And I hate that saying because it's true.
It's horrible. It's horrible. It's a horrible saying. My favorite one is, and it's funny because I actually just did a short video on this, is learn to become comfortable with being uncomfortable.
True. Very much so.
And that is such a fact of life on this path, regardless of how you're working or who you're working with. So this honestly isn't for the faint of heart.
No. Oh, God, no. God, it's like coming out of the proverbial closet. You know? I know. And that is it was horrific for me, you know. I mean, it was, gosh, it went against everything that I believed in. Not against everything, but I mean a lot of it. But I had to come to terms with what made me feel uncomfortable to be comfortable. You know what I mean? And I had to deal with that accordingly. Yeah.
I went through the same thing because I was like, when I first started, my whole intention was I'm going to learn to understand these abilities. I'm going to learn to be able to control them so I don't become so overwhelmed with them, right? And that was my whole intention. And I told my husband over and over again, I'm never going to do this professionally. You got to be kidding me. No. Who wants that headache? Who wants that level of ridicule? Because and that's that's not where the path led. It led a very different place to where I am now. And I had to work through all of that. Okay, well, you know, how do I let my friends know? I have a brother who is a minister. And I was terrified to tell him. I was
so scared to tell him
because I didn't want him to tell me I was going to hell.
Right. And that is, I mean, what we've been raised on and what we've, you know, heard and you know, society teaches us and this and that. But like Boomer D said, it does take a certain level of constitution to be able to do it, you know. And rightly or wrongly, whether you believe or whether you don't, I have a fantastic relationship with Christ. I'm not afraid to say that, you know.
Me too.
You know, I just, gosh, I mean, I told people this on yesterday's show too. If you want a really good story of how I became who I became and how I became from the beginning, there's an episode, I think it's two or three of Studio 6 Paranormal Memoirs. And storytelling time, and I tell this story. And I'm not a narcissist for one. I don't like to really listen to myself talk. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, ugh, you know. But when I listened back at that episode, of where my beliefs and where my spiritual path started in that sense, I really liked it because I was telling my truth. And that to me is when you start telling your truth, people really do listen and people really, you know, can relate. Mm-hmm. There's a reason why people, you know, maybe feel uncomfortable about telling the truth, but feel so much good after they do.
And I was the same way, because I will tell you, my biggest fears with my family, my brother specifically, didn't come to pass. He's like, you know, mom was like that. And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, I got a little bit of it too. And I'm like, And he accepts me. And it's not a there was never any condemnation. You know, did I lose some friends on the way? Yeah, I did, because they didn't know how to deal with me once I was completely open and authentic, not realizing you don't have to treat me any differently than you did before. This doesn't change anything. I'm not going to be sitting there trying to read your mind when we go to dinner.
Right. It doesn't work that way. It's what people are just like, oh my gosh, people who don't understand it or are afraid of it. You know what I mean? If they don't understand or they don't believe it, they're afraid of it. And then they lash back, or, you know, they lash out or whatever. And I run into that often, you know what I mean? Because they don't understand it. So they're afraid of it. You know, having a good conversation about it and discussing it. And saying, you know, if I truly felt that I was wrong or that I was like, I would feel it in my gut. I mean, I would literally, a lot of my intuition is in my gut, and it's not, you know, indigestion, you know, I mean, I'm just kind of, you know, so I've, you know, you and I, it sounds like you and I both have had to, you know, deal with that. You know, that coming of age type thing, you know,
and that's what it is. It is a coming
age. Right. No matter what age you are, and especially, you know, with people with gifts and people wanting to, you know, make a change or something like that. A lot of people are afraid to make any type of change like that for simple reason that, they're afraid.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I've been like that. I'm still like that in certain areas. You know what I mean? I have to question myself all the time. I'm like, am I doing this way I'm supposed to be doing it? And, you know, I mean, but when I align myself with my beliefs and my faith and things like that, that's when I start to get synchronicities. And that's when I start to see numbers. That's when I start to, get, you know, little feelings of, well, maybe I shouldn't do that. I don't want to do that. You know what I mean? Or something like that. You know what I mean? So there's little things like that that are telltale signs. And some people don't realize that. If you wonder why your life sucks, take a step back and look and say, what is it that I am doing that's causing, am I causing this or am I allowing this to happen?
Right. I mean, I actually, one of my big things recently was getting back into alignment because I got into this place kind of a little before the holidays and kind of leading up afterwards a bit where nothing felt right to me. Mm-hmm. And I felt like I was not doing what I was supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it took, honestly, breaking it back down, going back in, okay, why am I doing this?
Mm-hmm.
What are my reasons? And looking at that again and making the adjustments to realign, to make sure that I'm living in my own authenticity, that I am not trying to teach people or tell people things that I don't believe myself.
Right, right.
And we can fall into that just like everybody else.
We're human. Yeah, exactly. We're not some spectacular being. We're human. We're all, you know, it's part of the human race.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, some other people have different gifts for different reasons, you know? I mean, and it's just, you go back and you look at, you know, there's certain people who grew up, you know, like say, let's say go back to like the 50s and 60s or even the 40s and 50s.
Right.
That's my parents' era. And, you know, things were simple and there were still, you know, gifted people and mediums and this and that, but they weren't widely known. You know what I mean?
Mm-mm.
So it's kind of like, it's almost like nowadays, I mean, the mediumship has been more accepting, you know what I mean? In that sense, you know, gifted people and this and that, there's still a lot of people out there that don't believe in it, you know, but I mean, it's for society reasons, I think it's more accepted than it has been.
It is.
But it's always been there. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you have to go back and think, you know, if this was just a fad, you know, like the spiritualism back in the 1900s, you know, if this was just a fad, why did it survive so long?
Why is it still here and
thriving
today?
Right, right. Yeah. I mean, and some of that, you know, like we talked about with, you know, people want to make money. I get it, this and that. But there are more people out there who are quiet mediums.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That that just don't want to be put in the limelight. You know what I mean?
Right.
So if people, you know, maybe we should research that and try to find out what is the basis or, you know, some of the beginnings of mediumship and this and that, because there's got to be something to it.
There's a lot to it, and I would actually love to interview various mediums who effectively operate in different ways, in different styles.
Mm-hmm.
And also just to kind of get, okay, what is it that is leading you on this path?
Right.
You know,
there's a reason.
There's a reason for it. The other thing I would love to research, and this is just something that is, I mean, it's anecdotal, and I just know it from the number of mediums I know who came to their mediumship. And yeah, they may have had experiences in childhood and stuff like that, but they really came into it after like seriously traumatic stuff. I mean, that was my story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to know what triggered that hit? What was it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I go back and I just, you know, and I think about it and you can go back to the paranormal, you know, it's like, Yeah. And it seems like some of these things go into phases, you know, different phases more strongly mm-hmm. than others. But I remember like watching paranormal shows, you know, when they first came out, you know, and like
Me
Ghost
too.
Hunters, and I loved it. You know what I mean? And I thought it was just awesome. But I remember, and nothing against that show, but when I first saw the first episode, I thought, oh my gosh, this is going to be so awesome. And nothing mm-hmm. happened. And I was like, that's lame. I was like, you know, but I mean, and even onward, I mean, back in the early days, I mean, I think we realized that some of the shows that came yeah. after that, I think some of the producers were like, we got to make some stuff happen.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when ratings started to go up and this and that. But people like us, we would watch and be like,
no,
that doesn't work that way. And that's not real, or that's not, you know, and so I can't watch any of those. Some of them I can.
It depends.
You know what I mean?
It depends. On the show. Really depends.
Right.
But
right.
there are very right. few now that I.
There's a lot of them. Some of them are scripted. I'm not going to name names or nothing like that. But I mean, there's been a dozen on, you know, and there's some that I really like, mm-hmm. and you know, for that entertainment factor. But I mean, it's kind of like, but when I watch those shows now, it's like my gifted brain is automatically there and like, absolutely not. And I'm like, oh gosh,
I
can't watch it, enjoy it. You know what I mean? And I just
know what I will do with certain ones that are really egregious is I will do what I will call hate watch, just so I can point out every little thing.
Yep. Oh, yeah. So how bad are we? That's terrible.
I know. But it's just like,
and it's kind of sad because, you know, it's kind of sad because, I mean, there'll be times where I'll be watching a regular TV show,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm like, that person did it. I'm like, damn it. And then nine times out of ten. And I'll pick, you know, it's just kind of like, you just know, mm-hmm. you know, the script, it's almost like you're peeking in and seeing, you know, it's like turning to the last page of the book, you know, often.
I do too.
Like, yeah, that was great. Yeah. I don't mm-hmm. watch too much TV. I mean, I'll go back to watching MASH, you know. I'll go back.
I'll watch a lot of like old stuff too.
That like and like the Golden Girls and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
You know, but some of the shows today, it just, I don't know.
Well, it's hard. And it's hard, especially, mm-hmm. you know, if it's a paranormal show. And then it's just like all right.
After a while, it just got to the point where I got no enjoyment out of it because mm-hmm. nothing surprised me. You know, 10 years ago, I'd be like, oh gosh, I mean, that's kind of cool. You know, I remember watching an episode. I won't say who, but it was the first show. And this was back in mid 2000s.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched the first episode and I saw what appeared to be a board that flew through the air. And I was like, just like, oh my gosh, you know, now I would see that. I'd be like, oh, okay. And I would be able to see if it was real or not. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But in that sense of watching that first episode of this particular program and seeing that, I mean, that to me, that was legit. And I was like, now that I look back at it, and I think that's why that a lot of these shows had, you know, somebody had a light bulb come on and say, you know, we can make a lot of money doing this. And mm-hmm. why don't we do this and do that? And that's fine. If that's what you want to do, go ahead and do it. You know, I would rather watch a TV show that had a lot of history, you know what I mean? And something that even mediums or even investigators can put a stamp on it to find out the truth behind untold history or something, or a medium helping a spirit cross over or do something. Something's with substance, you know what I mean?
I am the same way. I'm a huge fan of documentaries. I am ginormous history nerd. So, and it's digging in deeper, just to see, okay, well, what else can we find out? What else can we find out? I mean, it's just, honestly though, I will say, do you have kind of a latest obsession as far as like paranormal things go? Right, and that's like the UAP UFO thing.
Right.
I'm just kind of, this is fascinating and there's some interconnectedness, but I'm not exactly sure what. So it's kind of like captured my attention right now.
Right. And that's the thing, you know, it's like people say, well, what are you thinking about the UAPs and aliens? And I'm like, to me, it's old hat. You know what I mean? I'm like, dude, they've been here forever.
It's
old news. Yeah. And I don't know. And the same thing with Bigfoot. Now, Kelly, my other host to Paranormal Triangle, she is a big Bigfoot fan. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I really don't care. I hate to say that, but I mean, I can respect people whose fascination with it. That's great. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's what your thing is, that's great. I personally don't have a opinion on. I kind of do, but I usually, you know, get in trouble.
Yeah. I mean, do I have an opinion on Bigfoot? I do, but is it an obsession of mine or a fascination?
Right.
It's
right.
Not.
No.
Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. You know, it's just, so everybody's in different things, and that's great. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there's regular people who don't use their gifts, who aren't gifted that way, you know, are more into accounting, or they like numbers, or they like, you know, writing books or writing, you know what I mean? So that's a gift in itself.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, people that can rattle numbers off their head like that, that's a gift. Mm-hmm. I suck with numbers.
I'm lucky I can do some very basic math in my head. So that is where I am. My husband is in IT consulting. He owns a firm. Mm-hmm. He codes, and it's fascinating to watch how quickly and in this language that makes absolutely no sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I'm the same way. I'm like, okay, I didn't take algebra. I did it. I understood it one time. That was it.
Yeah.
No thanks. So yeah, but
yeah,
I think that since I've got the other show, I think we're gonna wrap up a little bit early.
Okay.
We're almost 50 minutes, almost an hour, you know. So
yeah,
I have to transition into the next program. So, but I want to thank you so much for coming on. We've had a great conversation, and
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. So why don't you tell people where they can find you?
Oh, right. Well, you can certainly find me on social media, Facebook, Jen Rose Medium. Same thing on Instagram. My website is jenrosemedium.com. I welcome people reaching out. I welcome questions. I love to interact with people. One of my favorite things to do is to answer questions that people may have about mediumship or psychic phenomena, things like that. I love it. So yeah, reach out to me, talk to me. I love that.
Yeah. I mean, and you can find this episode will be on Studio 6 Media Productions on YouTube, as well as wherever you get your podcast. I mean, if you're on iHeartRadio or Spotify, yeah, we're this show is just a part of Studio 6, so it's just under that moniker. So when you're looking up paranormal saloon, you'll have to look under Studio 6 Media Productions and you'll find us. So thank everybody. I want to thank my guest again. And come back in about half hour or so. And I'll have Kenny Biddle on the next episode on the double feature.
Looking forward to that.
I know, right? Yeah. So I'm your host, Jay Hill. And I want to thank you, Jen, again.
Thank you,
Jen. And we will be out.